Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to another episode of Podnuts Pro. I am your host, Marvin B. Folks, I am happy to report that I am back in Fort Lauderdale. Some of you, a week or so ago, may have been paying attention to the Facebook where I was posting pics of a trip up to Georgia. Yes, folks, Atlanta, Georgia area where I have family. And we went up to go see my niece graduate from high school. So that was a great, lovely trip, completely personal, no business involved whatsoever. And had a good time up there. Not only did we see the graduation and have a good time with the family, I had to defend my cornhole championship. And that's a story that I'll have to share at a later date. But just so that you know, had to defend my honor, and cornhole championships are in the future. Also got a chance to see a cabin in the woods. Actually, it's a cabin in the mountains. My brother-in-law got himself a nice piece of land with a, I don't know if you want to call it an empty shell of a cabin, but they have stripped the thing and are rebuilding this cabin from top to bottom. It is going to be one of our family's vacation spots for my wife's side of the family. I will ask him about putting some pictures on it so you can see it. The pictures that I posted of the wife and I up in the mountains was actually there at the cabin site. It is a fantastic view. Don't know that I'd make that trip up the side of the mountain in the winter, but it is going to have some fantastic views. So just a little bit about what I've been doing. So today I am going to have an interview just a little bit later with another AppRiver person, and we are going to talk about Microsoft 365 and Windows as a service. It is coming soon that we are going to be having to deal with Windows 10 as a subscription service. So wanted to get a little bit of a discussion about what that means for us, and just, you know, for a lot of people that haven't really paid attention, introduce everyone to the concept of Windows as a service. All right, before we do that, let's do a little bit of housekeeping. I've got several email. Yes, folks, a stack of email, and I'm going to address these now instead of waiting for when Mr. Rainey returns, because when he does come back, we are going to have story time galore. I've been chatting with him. Both of us have some nice stories that we want to share. So I want to go ahead and review the email now and get that out of the way, so we'll have plenty of time for story time with Matt. All right, so one of the things I want to say is I'm not going to read the entire email, but I got another email from Jeff, and Jeff was the gentleman that sent in a message to us a couple of weeks ago about Mail Assure and moving his clients to AppRiver. And he basically did a follow-up email to explain the entire situation with Mail Assure and why he made the switch. I did respond back to Jeff and let him know that I am working hard on getting an interview with someone from SolarWinds who is on the Mail Assure team. And we're going to be able to talk a little bit about that and see what hurdles they've been going through and all the great things that they're trying to do to get everybody back on the MaxMail/MailAssure platform. And that should be coming up hopefully here in a week or so. I've been playing tag with the contact that I have there. Apparently that person is in Amsterdam, so they're contacting me at 2 a.m. and I'm contacting them when they're asleep. So we're trying to get all that worked out, folks. All right, got an email here. We had responded to Israel a couple weeks back as well about the Fabs Auto Backup. And he writes, thanks for replying. I'll start using the Fabs Auto Backup. I have been moving profiles going back to Windows 3.1. Whenever I tried to use any utility, it caused so much problems that it was quicker to do it manually. That's why I was so interested in which utility you use. He goes on to write, your chat on the copier guys was spot on. From blaming the IT guy to dropping off a copier and expecting the IT guy to configure the network printing and scan share and seeing the DHCP as static really hit the mark. Yeah. I think I have another story to share about those guys. If you're one of those guys, I apologize, but wow, you guys really do make for great stories. Let's see. Oh, here's some links I'm going to put in the show note. Israel put a link in his email for Windows 10 Decrapifier version 2. This is basically responding to Matt and I removing the Windows 10 apps. I will put that link in the show note. And he also puts a link in regarding RDP brute force protection for clients that say VPN is a hassle. They use an open source utility, CyberArms IDDS from cyberarms.net. So I'll put that link in there. And he says that it blocks RDP, SQL, FTP, and more. It will permanently block IPs. It also has a great dashboard that shows you how many times you were hit in the last 30 days. And he goes on. Wow, thanks, Israel. A lot of nice, good stuff here. We also use for some clients two-factor authentication via Duo Security or Rohost Logon Key. Duo is great, but has a monthly charge, whereas Rohost is a one-time purchase. And we send the code via email, so there's no SMS charges. And by the way, we're also a SonicWall shop. Looking forward to the SonicWall interview. All right, Israel. That SonicWall interview is in the works. I've actually already spoken to the engineer that I will be doing the interview with, so that is also on the way. And I'm going to end up here. I'm going to summarize a group of emails that I've received from Roman. Roman is listening to us somewhere in Europe, and the email first started off with wanting to know if there was an issue where Podnuts had probably blocked some foreign countries since we had been talking about that on the show. Roman was having an issue with downloading the podcast through his app. The app was called G-Potter. I don't know much about that, but we did do some research, and for those of you that have any interest, the only country that we're blocking right now is China. So after doing some more investigation, Roman did write back and say that the issue seemed to only be with that podcast client, that he was able to go directly to the Podnuts page and use the direct link and download that, and wanted to say thank you for doing a great show. And Roman, you don't have to apologize for bothering us. We want to make sure that everybody can hear and listen to the show whenever they can. So glad it worked out, though. Might be time to update the podcatcher. I don't know what's available in Europe, but find a good one. I think the one that I use is the built-in, I don't even know what it's called. Duh. That's how well I pay attention. It's just called Podcast. It might be the built-in app for the iPad. But if you are using Android, be sure to go over and listen to our Android App Addicts. They have many podcatchers that they have recommended over the years. All right, right now I'm going to shift gears and get us over to the interview that I have with AppRiver and the Windows as a Service. So we will take a quick break and be right back with the interview.
Protect your customers from the next generation of threats with Microsoft 365. No cancellation fees, no contracts, and the most experienced customer support team in the business. Visit appriver.com/podnutspro today.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. And as promised, I am joined by my guest, another great App River veteran. He used to be the senior director of sales operations, but now is the senior director of App River's Microsoft Alliance. If you've been out in the Microsoft world, you have seen him out at the SPM Nations tours. You've seen him at the worldwide partner conferences. This gentleman has managed sales operations and strategic accounts for many, many years. And am I reading this correct, Scott? By the way, folks, Scott Paul is the guest that we have, senior director of App River's Microsoft Alliance. Scott, were you the project leader for the initial rollout of Office 365 there at App River?
I was, Marvin, and it's hard to believe that was 7 years ago.
Wow, time does fly. All right, yeah. So Scott, welcome. And you want to add anything to my introduction there?
No, I appreciate it. That was very flattering, and I look forward to our conversation about Microsoft 365.
All right. So just real quickly, let's talk about what it means for this Microsoft Alliance at App River. What exactly are you doing over there with Microsoft?
Well, we were 7 years ago, the cloud solution provider program that dominates the Microsoft cloud experience for partners today didn't exist. There was a precursor program called Syndication. And at that time, BPOS, which preceded the technology platform we now call Office 365, had signaled to partners and customers, especially small business customers, that a broader cloud vision was on the horizon from Microsoft. We could see that would change our world as a large exchange hoster that was already heavily invested in a Microsoft technology stack. And we very much wanted to be a part of what we thought was a very compelling new approach for Microsoft. Of course, that was Satya Nadella has been at Microsoft now for a little more than 4 years. So this was well in advance of that. And beyond sort of wanting to be involved and wanting to be, we used to talk back then about being on top of the bear rather than under the bear. But we knew it would be a wild ride, and we wanted to get in early and figure things out and understand as quickly as possible what it would mean. So today, fast forward, Syndication has now run its course. The Cloud Solution Provider Program is firmly established with indirect providers like App River and direct providers, which we also are to a smaller degree. There are about 5,500 cloud solution providers working with Microsoft today globally. What it's meant for us is that our hosted exchange business, which, as I said, was quite successful in 2011, has remained a successful and profitable business, but we've essentially doubled the size of our Microsoft footprint, if you will, through the Syndication / CSP program, so that today App River supports more than 600,000 end users who are on Microsoft technology, either by way of Office 365 or hosted exchange. So it's been a big deal for us during that time. The number of partners we support has more than doubled. We now have more than 275 employees. So as a growth engine for App River and for the several thousand partners that we work with, as an enabling technology for our 65,000 or so small business customers, it's hard to overstate the importance that our Microsoft relationship has straight through today and into the indefinite future, I would say.
All right. So 600,000 seats. So I'm going to do my best to get you to 600,100 seats.
That's how we got to 600,000, was like 100 at a time. So I'm on board with that program.
All right. So back to what we are here today to talk about. And one of the things is I've been looking at some of the things with Windows as a Service, Microsoft 365. In the last App River interview that I did with Billy Mundu, we kind of touched on Microsoft 365. And I know that it gets confused a lot, you know, thinking of it as Windows as a subscription. But let's kind of just take a step back and really understand what is Windows as a Service really. And let's start with that and help us understand.
Sure. Well, it is a great place to start. It is the most fundamental, identifying characteristic of Microsoft 365. Windows as a Service, which officially begins with Windows 10, is Microsoft's new and modern and, you know, the approach of record into the future. It is their new approach for toward building and deploying and servicing Windows. Its purpose is to enable faster delivery of new features and improvements. Microsoft will use Windows as a service to simplify the process of staying current with Windows, which has always been a challenge. And Windows as a service also allows Microsoft to align Windows with Office 365, which of course is itself fundamentally a cloud service. Not just that, Microsoft is building intelligence into Windows Server and other products like SQL. And of course, underpinning all of that is the Azure platform, a global platform powered by artificial intelligence and machine learning. Microsoft's goal here is to modernize the workplaces of all the customers they serve and set them on a path towards perpetual modernization so that they don't fall behind, that compatibility and security and other things don't get compromised by aging software. I think it's also worth pointing out as IT professionals that there's another very pragmatic consideration for Microsoft in all of this transformation that they're going through, and that is that they have a significant problem globally with software piracy. And subscription software is, and cloud technology is, a powerful weapon in the battle against intellectual property theft and the misuse of licensed software. So, you know, obviously all of us pay close attention to that as a baseline standard for operating a responsible consultancy or managed service provider business or as a host. And these are also Microsoft concerns, except they're global, and Microsoft measures the impacts of things like piracy in the billions of dollars.
Right. So we understand that Microsoft 365 is kind of going to be cloud-based, much like Office 365. So does this mean the end of Windows as we know it in terms of, you know, getting media and being able to install it ourselves and separately?
I think the connection between Microsoft software of all types and media and installation as a physical operation that you do by accessing a CD tray and you know, the things that we all are most familiar with, I think that is an approach that eventually will go away. I think we're getting there incrementally. Windows 10 is an example in Microsoft 365 of Microsoft bridging the old with the new. If you have Windows 7, it was either installed as part of an OEM package on an endpoint that you purchased, or you installed it from physical media, most likely.
Right.
And It is Windows 7 becomes the foundation for Windows 10 Professional in Microsoft 365. The technology and the workflow means that you can't do one without the other. So as with hybrid deployments, for instance, in cloud more generally, the old and the new do have to coexist peacefully and they have to behave themselves, because transforming the way the world works, remember that Microsoft technology powers something like 95% of all the small businesses in the US and more than 90% of all the small businesses on the planet. Changing that ecosystem in any way, the way software is licensed, the way it is acquired, the way it is maintained, those kinds of transformations are decades-long processes to work through the system. And Microsoft's also doing a lot of data center construction and a lot of innovating to power all of this. So I do think it means we are in the midst of a profound change in the way that Microsoft software gets delivered. I also think it will happen over a long enough amount of time that we will see it in the wider stream of innovation and change in the IT business that we should all be used to at this point.
Well, we're used to change, but we're not used to Microsoft taking away revenue sources in terms of being able to sell a Windows license. It sounds like that's going to go away.
That's an interesting segue into, you know, some realities. First of all, I will say that you know, from AppRiver's perspective, we totally relate to that. Hosted Exchange has been a very lucrative business for a large number of companies, several of which are much larger than AppRiver. A number of companies around our size, and literally thousands of companies smaller than us, hosting Exchange for business customers. But the subscription business model and an annuity-based approach to software licensing revenue, once that conversion happens, there is, you know, well-documented analysis out there from folks like Gartner, for instance, that during the normal business customer life cycle for Office, a subscription to Office earns about 34% more revenue than perpetual licensing or fully packaged product would if it was purchased at the same time. So, and particularly with Microsoft 365, the responsibilities that fall to us and our partners and managed service providers everywhere to get that right, to guide customers through that, those are valuable professional services. And so there's definitely revenue moving around in the model, and in some cases there may be less in a particular view of revenue. But taken all up, I continue to believe that Microsoft, as a publicly traded company, is not in the business of you know, shrinking revenues, and increased revenue for Microsoft is intended to generate increased revenue for partners. Microsoft continues to view its partner ecosystem as the most powerful IT resource that's ever existed. They still get 96% of their total corporate revenue through partner business. So, you know, we encourage partners to keep the faith, to work with us and other vendors to identify, you know, the useful ways to move revenue around so that over the long term, partners are better off, customers are better off. But yeah, I, you know, the conversion is tough. I'm reminded that the conversion has been and continues to be very challenging for Microsoft. Microsoft used to get $500 for a copy of Office that you bought in a retail location or $300 in a copy of Office and Windows that was part of an OEM package or whatever it was. They have had to make themselves and their shareholders comfortable with the idea that now you can raise your hand and say, I'd like a copy of Office and I'd like it free for 30 days. And then after that, I'd like to start paying you $8 or $10 a month for it, if that's okay. Big change for them as well.
Right.
These are things we think about a lot at AppRiver, and we come at them from the perspective of managed service providers who have to take all of this change and keep it from disrupting their businesses and figure out how to make it a profitable part of what they do.
So it's not just a change for us as techs. It sounds like the OEMs are going to have to change as well. And I know I'm probably going off script here, but, you know, right now I go to HP or Dell and, you know, I buy the hardware with the Microsoft license there. It sounds like that's going to significantly change as well.
I think you can count on it. I'm not really sure. I know for me, the types of changes and the scale of that change for OEMs isn't well understood. It's probably a little too early in that process. Microsoft's partnerships with big OEMs like Dell are, you know, critical to both companies, and there's a tremendous desire, I think, on everyone's part for those not to become more disruptive than they need to be. But, you know, now that both Office and Windows are moving to a subscription future, as I said, it's not really clear to me what opportunities and challenges that'll generate for OEMs. And I think it's also worth pointing out that Microsoft is itself an OEM with the Surface line. And so we might see some signals of their thinking regarding the way businesses will acquire and consume and manage endpoint hardware in a cloud-first world. We OEMs will, as much as anyone, have to figure out how to be comfortable and healthy while the owner's manual for all of that is being written, because it certainly didn't exist before.
All right. So we're talking about this blending of models here. So I want to go back, and you made a comment earlier about a term, the modern workplace, where, you know, everything is going to stay updated and patched and secured. So in terms of this subscription model and our understanding of the Windows world as it is, how is Microsoft defining this Microsoft 365 modern workplace?
Well, there are a handful of key understandings that I think we all need to have about what they're talking about when they talk about the modern workplace. It's a term that I believe came out of Microsoft's desire to bring together, you know, the strict marketing language of product launches and hype with the practical considerations that we're concerning ourselves with largely in this conversation, in a way that doesn't alienate customers. And, modern is one of those terms that doesn't, you know, tend to, especially when you're talking about technology, doesn't tend to turn people off. They tend to continue listening when you use a term like that. So on the one hand, it's a buzzword, it's a term that came out of Microsoft. On the other hand, it's an invitation to all of us, I think, to dig in a little deeper and understand what exactly, as you asked, does Microsoft mean by that. Office 365, after 7 years, is now a maturing product. It is table stakes in the managed service game, if you will. We used to have to spend a lot of time and our partners telling people what Office 365 was. We don't have to do that anymore. So if you think of that as the launch point for modern workplace and Microsoft 365, then you can take the next step forward by adding Windows 10 and the best elements of Microsoft's enterprise mobility and security stack. You get a complete vision of a modern workplace that was hinted at by Office 365, but which really couldn't be reached. Office 365 is fundamentally focused on productivity and collaboration. It's messaging, it's file sharing, it's teamwork. There's some security in there, especially on a workload by workload basis, particularly in Exchange, but there have always been gaps. Turns out that a good many of those gaps in things like security and administration and policy management and things like that, not to mention device management, really needed a hook at the operating system level in order to become part of the picture. So along comes Windows 10 and then Microsoft 365, Windows 10 Professional in particular. Now you've got that operating system hook. Now you've got an operating system basis for these admin and deeper tools to do what they need to do to secure corporate data on personal mobile devices, for instance, as an example. So there's a completing of the vision aspect to it. There is the modern workplace is about ensuring compatibility. I think we can all relate to the notion that line of business applications and lots of other workloads have historically, we've had to kind of leapfrog through those things, right? Like my line of business application needs a modern operating system and I don't have one, or it's limited to an older operating system and I have a modern one. All those kinds of uncomfortable choices between where different pieces of software are in their life cycle. A modern workplace is less tied to software development life cycles and processes than the previous generation workplace would have been. So I think that's also one way to look at it. And then finally, I think that regulatory and legal compliance considerations, especially as it relates to IT, again, there, if you've got security vulnerabilities in your legacy operating system, then modern security tools may or may not be enough to address those gaps. Now that HIPAA and GDPR and PCI and this overhang of complex, sometimes complex, regulatory and legal compliance concerns are coming right down to the smallest, you know, my dentist, my insurance provider, local office, my financial advisor, whatever type of business it is. Again, there, you need more than just Exchange and Outlook and Word and Excel to get at those kinds of requirements. And since they're now requirements and burdens for every business in America, and now with GDPR, every business in the Western world, then, you know, Microsoft, I think, also correctly understood that the modern workplace, regardless of size or complexity, has to have a solid basic set of tools to deal with things like archiving and e-discovery and email encryption and data lifecycle management. These were the luxuries and worries of much larger businesses 10 years ago, but they're with all of us now. And so I think when you look at that holistically, you look at security and compliance, you look at compatibility and data control and device control, and then you look at the foundation of Office 365. For me, I see how those things click together, and I see that only when all three of those tranches of technology are brought together, do you really, you know, eliminate major gaps and put a solution in front of a business customer that is very nearly complete. I say very nearly because there's still business applications. There are still things like accounting packages, healthcare providers have practice management software. Law firms have practice management software and time management. It's not that it changes everything for everybody all at once, but Microsoft can, of course, only at the end of the day take care of their piece of the pie, but it's a big piece. And, you know, as I understand modern workplace, it's that vision of, you know, it's not really complete, and a workplace isn't really modern until it can secure itself, until it can control itself, and until it can enable itself with this complete set of technology.
Right. Well, I know that we could actually open up a nice little debate on how complete it is, because I've got a lot of customers that will not move to Windows 10 because of those gaps with their line of business applications. Mm-hmm. So, but I have a question that popped into my head, and it's probably going to catch you a little off guard, but in terms of the security aspect, I know that one of the things that I saw that Microsoft 365 is supposed to do is change security so that it actually brings into play this thing called identity management of devices, and allows for, I guess, security to be based on an identity of a person as opposed to the devices that they're using. Am I understanding that correct? Is that something you can answer or have any idea what that means?
I think you're certainly understanding it the way I understand it, the way we do here at AppRiver. Identity is, if you drive it down to its most basic form, it is the one immutable element in access control and entitlement and all of that. A license can belong to me today and to you tomorrow. A device can belong to me today and to you tomorrow. I can't become you tomorrow. So I think Microsoft wisely chose to start with identity. They've had some missteps along the way. Live ID in and of itself has sort of gotten away from Microsoft, right? If you ask anyone to enter their Microsoft Live ID in order to get access to something in our business, in your business, the next question is going to be, which one? Because most of us are walking around with multiple live IDs. So perhaps there is an example of how not to do identity management. But now that finished services in Azure, like information protection, for instance, are maturing and becoming more mainstream, I think it's safe to say that Microsoft has at least provided the foundation for a real identity-based approach to security and access. I think for AppRiver and for dozens of other ISVs and technology companies, there continue to be some gaps that can be addressed more elegantly, more completely, more simply by technologies that are not from a company called Microsoft. So if you go out there and sample the identity management marketplace, for instance, you'll find, like I said, dozens of approaches to using a third party, typically cloud solution, to do identity management across not just Microsoft's cloud, but all public clouds, more simply. I think it's interesting to me that while Microsoft has really more than doubled down on security, you may remember that in the earliest days of Office 365, there was a lot of back and forth between Microsoft and Google about security and privacy.
Right.
It was funny to those of us who didn't have to be personally invested in it, and it produced some interesting commercials and things like that. But it was deadly serious business, and Microsoft has spent literally billions since then to shore up its position as the most trusted public cloud for business. Again, I think it's interesting and worth noting that opportunity continues to exist in the security space as seriously as Microsoft takes it. it's still true that if you want to completely secure Office 365, for instance, you're winding up touching a number of different portals and admin centers and settings, and you're typically going to have to go read a lengthy TechNet article or something like that to get a handle on a particular approach to security that you can completely implement. So there's lots of vendors out there. AppRiver is one of them that are fielding alternatives to Microsoft's approach that in some cases can make managing identity and security easier, especially for small businesses. But that's going to continue to be a big conversation. Someone here at AppRiver asked me recently, how seriously is Microsoft taking all this security stuff? And I just laughed because I just thought, is there any universe in which Microsoft can't afford to take security with deadly seriousness? I mean, the future of their cloud platform rests squarely on their ability to elicit complete trust, really substantial trust from partners and customers in that area. And they're doing all of this while new threats are being cooked up every day. The threatscape is more diverse and active right now than it's been in quite some time. So the challenges are big for everybody. Again, I think there's an opportunity for managed service providers there to filter out a lot of that noise, to curate those solutions, find things they understand and believe in and can get passionate about, and start to look at security and identity particularly as something prescriptive, where really are we serving our customers completely if we allow that sort of thing to be optional?
Right.
Or is it finally time to say, if you want to be my customer, which I really want you to be my customer, then to take care of you properly, you need to do a set of basic things. And one of those things invariably is going to be to look at their identity management and Active Directory structure. And any casual examination of that for a typical American small business is going to find big opportunities for improvement.
Yep, it will. And we do have a long way to go. I mean, people still have not adapted the Edge browser yet because of Microsoft's wanting to change that. We're still stuck on IE with all of its insecurities. So it is a battle. So I know we are going to be running out of time here soon. So I want to go back and ask a quick question on Microsoft 365 specifically and what offerings that AppRiver has. Now, as I understand it, there's basically two flavors to Microsoft 365, correct?
Right. There's enterprise and business.
All right. And that sounds simple enough.
If you look at the rest of Microsoft's cloud catalog, their approach with Microsoft 365 is, if you can look past the naming piece, which still elicits chuckles, then it is pretty simple. These are bundled solutions exclusively. There is no unbundling of M365. And if you think about it, that kind of makes sense. If what Microsoft is doing with M365 is trying to present a vision of a modern workplace that is uniform in its currency, in its versions and its capabilities. It's not a patchwork of users and machines with different states of readiness and security and all of that that have to be managed like, you know, separate businesses. Then it makes sense that Microsoft is not inviting people to break up these bundles. And by making them all bundles, that results in, you know, a very simple catalog. There are three part numbers, for lack of a better term. There is Microsoft 365 for business, which is designed for companies with less than 300 users. I would say really more like under 250. And it doesn't have quite as big a library of admin and security controls and audit and reporting tools as its enterprise cousin. And then on the enterprise end, there's also a flavor that allows you to add some of the E5 tools that we're probably all familiar with from Office 365, and that would primarily be even more security tooling, and then cloud PBX and the voice options. So it is pretty straightforward. And the effort that we have traditionally put into right-sizing Office 365 for customers is, you know, that time is now spent on discovering and optimizing for security and access control and reporting and compliance, instead of, you know, let's put this user on Essentials and this user on Premium and this user on just email. And
Right. And it looks like the bundling aspect that you said has now gone away. All of these plans, they pretty much come with email, with all the Office applications. So the Word, right. Excel, PowerPoint, and then they all come with, you know, obviously Windows Pro or Windows Enterprise operating system, but they come with a little bit of other stuff, right? OneDrive, Skype. So
those are the so-called online services that right. would also include, I don't know, I can't remember if you mentioned it, but SharePoint as well.
Yeah, that's in there.
And then in addition, Microsoft is in the earlier days of building out a new suite of business applications that include things like Microsoft Bookings, Outlook Customer Manager, which is actually a resurrection of a wildly popular light CRM enhancement to Outlook that used to be out there.
I remember that. Yeah, it was that separate CD in Office 2007.
That's it. I can remember still to this day getting called out in a big conference room by a customer who wanted me to explain on behalf of Microsoft why they took away the one tool that was powering his entire business.
Oh my. Wow.
I think an example of an interesting third party partnership, Mile IQ is also part of that developing business application suite. Mile IQ uses Bing and Maps and some cool software to automate the process of tracking your travel while you're on business, and making it easy to report on that and expense it and manage all of that.
You said Mile IQ, and they're also, aren't they doing something with invoicing and stuff like that? So, you know, businesses like us can just utilize Microsoft for what, every part of our business?
Well, yeah. I mean, invoicing is one of the business applications. Me personally, I'm not really convinced yet that is going to stand the test of time with regard to the more substantial financial packages that Microsoft is in a position to offer and is through the Dynamics platform. So, you know, Microsoft.
So it's not going to be a Microsoft money type thing.
That's just me speculating. If you're a growing small business, you probably can already get in touch with how easy it can be to get the feeling that you've outgrown something like QuickBooks. So an even lighter weight, less capable version of an accounting package or bookkeeping billing package. Again, just like with security, it's hard for me to imagine that businesses are hungry for less features and less capability. Right. And since Microsoft already has a substantial catalog around Dynamics called Dynamics 365 in the cloud, my gut is that things like it's called invoicing in the business application suite, may serve to be mostly sort of gateway drugs to what Microsoft is really investing in, which is to bring tools like Navision and Great Plains, those kinds of enterprise ERP resources, reimagine them and bring them down into the small business. And if you've ever seen a demo of Dynamics 365 and you see what you can do with invoicing and bookkeeping and order management and inventory management, just from within Outlook, if all of the intelligence is there in a fully integrated way, which is Microsoft's aim, then a very familiar application like Outlook just sort of magically lights up with reminders and tools for getting billing tasks done without leaving Outlook. Those kinds of things, especially when you extend them to mobile devices for busy small business owners who may or may not be in the office, who may or may not have a dedicated accounting resource or whatever, that produces a lot of oh wow moments. So Microsoft is clearly incubating and feeling their oats when it comes to lightweight business applications in the sort of behind the waffle there in an M365 subscription, but they're also putting tremendous resources behind their effort to get Dynamics 365 to really become the final, along with Azure, although I really prefer to think of finished services as separate from infrastructure. And it's really not until Dynamics 365 comes in that you can start to think in terms of what you chuckled about at the beginning, which is sort of Microsoft doing everything. And that's that involves some specialists, a lot of partners of AppRiver who are extremely capable managed service providers across a broad slice of their customers' requirements, don't have a specialization around CRM or don't have can't pick up financial data and move it from one place to another, or don't feel comfortable with that. That's generally the purview of specialist partners.
Right.
And that's where, multi-channel sales and support and partner-to-partner relationships can become new and powerful ways of extending your reach and improving the revenue and margin picture. But again, there, it's a big evolution, right? We're not used to raising our hands and inviting in another partner to go get something done. But these Uber bundles from Microsoft really almost demand it, right? If your customer buys into the complete vision, then invariably there will be things that need to be accomplished that aren't in your wheelhouse, aren't part of your practice today.
Absolutely, which is why I partner with AppRiver for a lot of my stuff, because I am certainly not going to be diving into Dynamics anytime soon.
Yeah, right.
So, right.
Not a trivial thing. You don't do that over the weekend.
Weekend, right. That's a more than a 2-week boot camp.
Yeah.
All right, Scott. Well, we are coming up to the end of our time here. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been talking with Scott Paul, the Senior Director of the Microsoft Alliance at AppRiver. And wow, it feels like we just hit the surface of what Windows as a service really is.
I agree. I mean, there's just so much more to talk about the way that work is changing itself. We didn't really spend any time on that,
but nope.
There's actually a lot of data that's coming to the surface now about how work itself is changing, how workers are changing.
Yeah. Yes, it is. So we'll probably have to design another show built around that. But
sounds like a good one.
But for now, we know that we can go to AppRiver and get Microsoft 365 Business and Enterprise. And we've got a phenomenal support team that can help guide us and support us along the way. And Scott, anything you want to like sling at the door on the way out that would just kind of leave a lasting impression on Windows as a service?
Just an encouragement to be a little bit courageous, get in there. This is a moment in time, Microsoft 365, that will you know, it'll be a marker on a calendar somewhere. It's a fairly significant event. From our perspective, it's the most important change in Microsoft's approach to the SMB since the launch of Office 365. And we believe, and we know that Microsoft also believes, M365 is a practice. It's not a part number. It's not a SKU. It's not an offer. It's a practice. Dive in there. You know, stretch your muscles in terms of making security and staying modern a part of your customer conversations. Be brave. Talk to us if you need a wingman. We think that co-selling and collaborative onboarding is going to be key to developing the muscle memory that we all need to make M365 as comfortable a part of our practices as O365 is at this point. But we're ready. We have material. We have curated and boiled down and focused a lot of the reams of material that Microsoft has produced. And so I think that AppRiver and others provide plenty of opportunity to get there a little quicker with this stuff. And my big encouragement on the way out the door would be, don't wait, be brave, get in there and get some help if you need it.
All right. All right, Scott, I appreciate the time you've just spent with us. And
it was my pleasure.
Like we said, we're probably going to have to schedule another show and deep dive on some of these things, but I will be putting in our show note a link to the AppRiver page for Microsoft 365 and basically be trying to push some people there to move into Windows as a service. Some of us will come kicking and screaming. All right, folks, that concludes our interview portion of the show here. We're going to pause for a quick break, and then I will come right back with some closing thoughts and ending off the show.
Are you moving your business to Office 365? Working in the cloud can make your life a lot easier, but getting help? Well, that's a different story. And that's why you should call AppRiver. They've got the most experienced support team in the business. You'll get free US-based support from folks who care about helping you and actually know how. If you're going with Office 365, go with AppRiver. Try AppRiver services free for 30 days. Visit appriver.com/podnutspro. That's appriver.com/podnutspro.
And we are back. I want to once again say thank you to Scott Paul with AppRiver and that lovely discussion we had on Windows as a service. And I know that that was an introduction to Windows as a service. And yes, we did focus a little bit on Microsoft 365 because I think that's where most of us are going to see this Windows as a service for the very first time. And in short, Microsoft 365 for us is going to be a bundle of services that includes Windows 10, most likely Enterprise, with Office 365. And like Office 365, there are going to be multiple plans to choose from. I know that in talking with my sales rep at AppRiver, right now it's basically going to be two plans, a $21.95 per user per month, or a $39.95 per user per month. Our customers are getting used to everything being a monthly service fee, and with managed services, this should fit right in with just simply finding another way to do a monthly recurring revenue for that. So deciding whether or not you should get on board with 365 now, and I mean 365 Office you've been doing for a while, but with Microsoft 365, I mean, it's going to be a little tricky. If you're already using stuff, then switching over could be easy. If you're using just certain components of Office 365, might be a little tricky. It'll be interesting, and I'm going to keep watching it for the next couple of years because, you know, 2020 is right around the corner, and that's when Microsoft is supposedly going to stop supporting Windows 7. So that is going to be the time frame that I'm looking at. So until then, I'm going to be looking to my friends over at AppRiver to help guide me and help me figure out a way to embrace this new standard for business productivity and security. So that's where I'm at. So folks, I do want to thank you for downloading and listening to the show. I do want to thank my sponsor for this episode, AppRiver. It's time to upgrade your office. I also want to remind you that Cloudberry is sponsoring the show notes for the episode. And when you go to the site and look at those, you will see that we are still providing you with the link for 2 gigabytes of cloud storage for a trial. And Cloudberry is a white label managed backup service for MSPs that includes integration with more than 20 cloud service providers. Also, be sure to head over to podnuts.com. You'll find some other great shows over there on the network. You can also visit some of our other sponsors, Malwarebytes TechBench, the PC repair shop, Vortex, Bytex, visit Ninja RMM, 2017's best reviewed RMM solution. Folks, if you have questions, comments, suggestions for show topics, email them to me, marvin@podnuts.com. You can also tweet them at me. Yes, we're on the Twitter, and that tweet handle is @podnutspro. Folks, I thank you again for listening to tonight's show, and be sure to join us in the next couple of weeks. Remember, we're going to be having Sonic Wall, Matt Rainey will be back, and we've got some other great shows in store for you. So go out and have yourselves a great week, and until next time, holla!